Off the ball. Rugby.
There was so much debate about Carberry around 7 or 8 years ago. And here we have a guy now playing for Bordeaux in France and kind of discarded by the Irish system as well. And
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
So welcome to episode 57 of The Racing Pod and Off the Ball with Johnny Ward. And it's Steve Ryder this week. And Steve Ryder is a broadcaster and tipster in Britain. And I do a bit of work for Oddschecker with Steve. Normally he's a presenter, I'm the analyst. We've had a bit of crack about both kind of fancying Banbridge to win the King George. Marine Nationale, we disagreed on a little bit in terms of the Friday stuff and all of that. But I must bring this book up. So JD, the erstwhile JD, who normally presents the show, he gave me this over the Christmas in a local tavern to the studio, provided you don't kiss me. And the reason I show this is because there's a bit of a Cluffy and Taylor change here. It's Cluffy in the hot seat and Taylor in the other seat normally, but today it's the other way around. So Taylor's presenting and Steve Ryder is Cluffy. How are you, Cluffy?
I'm very, very well. Enjoyed the Christmas period. My daughter is six, so she's the perfect age for all the Christmas magic. But thankfully, I could sit down in front of the telly and watch most of it yesterday.
Yeah, Steve has invited me over. He lives in Newmarket with his Miss Zoe. He's invited me over for the Guineas, which I am actually planning to in 2025. But he was watching all the action yesterday. We cannot wait to get through the King George to Christmas hurdle. There are no words to describe how good those races were. We'll also review Leopardstown in the first half of the show, and we'll give a couple of selections over the weekend. For the members, then we'll have more selections and a more in-depth look at the weekend action, which will entail the Challow Hurdle, the Fáthín at Limerick, and obviously several great ones actually at Leopardstown. Every week we're here with racing analysis, previews, tips, stories, information, interviews and crack. First half the pod each week is free to air. Second half is exclusive for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. This week for members, we'll focus on all the best action that we saw yesterday. And in the second half of the show, as I said, we'll talk about some of the bigger races over the weekend, primarily at Leopardstown. And we'll also have the charity bet. And my charity bet was Hello Neighbour last week. Thank you, William Hill. That's 250 quid at the charity. He came in at 5-1. We'll take that, Steve, if and when your charity bet comes in. But there is only one place to start. There is only one place to start. The Hill is back.
He is. I'd be slightly lukewarm on the form in comparison to a lot of people. I've seen a lot of people get a lot more excited than I was.
I thought the same.
I was on Lossy Mouth, and after about two hurdles, I kind of felt like turning it off. Because the good thing about Lossy Mouth is that she's enthusiastic through her racing. She's arguably too keen early on in the stages of the race. And she was beat after two hurdles. I thought it was a hell of a run from her to actually get back into contention and actually lay it down to him. If you completely take her out of the race, like, she's beaten Burdett Road, having made a mistake at the last. I just loaded it here. William Hill at 4-7 for the champion hurdle. And I wouldn't be touching that yet.
But should we? I mean, this horse has run what? Like, he runs once a season, give or take, maybe one and a half, if you're lucky. So, like, whether or not he'll rock up in the champion hurdle. But how did the market get it so right that she was so weak? And I completely agree with you. I was salivating over the race, and I'm still thinking about it. But she was never traveling.
No. It just wasn't her, was it? Like, you think back to her triumph hurdle win. And she was so keen going down the hill at Cheltenham. You look back at the international hurdle last year, you look at the hut at Hatton's Grace. Like, Paul Townend is normally having a struggle to settle her and was niggling away from every single hurdle. Like, that's just not her.
Just kind of looking at the both of us watching on TV, and thankfully Kempton, which is quite foggy on the Friday, not so much on Stephen's Day, Boxing Day, wasn't so bad. So you could see the reaction of the crowd. Like, what is Constitution Hill for? I mean, you're from Britain. You know that jumps racing is under so much duress across the globe, really. But particularly in Britain, where, you know, there's we kind of need a superstar. How important is he for the game?
He's very, very important. And I feel as if he hadn't really captured the imagination until this. I know Sprinter Sacre was obviously loved before he had those ailments that then came out and he then roared back to form. And I feel as if Constitution Hill has kind of needed this to really get appreciated by the English public. But the crowds and the reception that he got back into the winner's enclosure was absolutely fantastic. And I just hope I just hope that Nicky Henderson doesn't give us updates every 2 weeks until the Cheltenham Festival now, because I assume he'll go straight there, won't he?
Okay, so where are you on the champion hurdle now? I still actually feel Lossie Mouth isn't out of it because I'm like you. I mean, for all that they crawled a bit the last day at Ferry House, I still thought she was exceptional on the day. Mm. Brilliant around Cheltenham. Where are you on the champion hurdle now?
The prices, I'd probably back Lossie Mouth currently. She's 4-5 to 1 with William Hill currently. She's 6 to 4 for the mares. She's obviously come in for the mares in the thought that she's now more likely to head there because she's beaten. And if she'd ran on her merits and she'd been keen in the race and she'd travelled and jumped beautifully and he'd beaten her fair and square, I think Willie Mullins and Rich Ritchie would have sat down and gone, yeah, OK, we've been beaten by a better horse there. Let's maybe go the easier route. But she just hasn't there. She's not ran a race and I think they'll give another go. It'll be interesting to see actually where she'll go, because normally State Man runs at the Dublin Racing Festival and on to the champion hurdle from there. So they're going to obviously have to pick a route to the champion hurdle, but I still think she's more likely to run there than in the mares. I'm not sure about you.
I'm the same, and we'll be talking a bit more about statements or later on in the show. Would it be fair to say if this were sort of on the back of a normal prep and all of that, you would have been a shade disappointing Constitution Hill, or is that mad?
No, that's exactly how I read it. I looked at the times. I think it was 5 seconds slow on standard, and to give an idea that,
and he was all out. No, he was all out.
Yeah, and the King George was only 1 second slow. So,
okay,
that's kind of your comparison there. I know Le Francais obviously went from the front and made it a proper test, but if you've taken Lossie Mouth out of that race, he's niggled to get past Burdett Road. Who, yes, he's a high class flat performer, and yes, he won the Greatwood Hurdle in good style. But is he any better than beating Rubo last year? And this was less impressive than that.
Nice segue to the King George. This was almost an appropriate end to the year for Paul Townend in some respects, because this was the one year where he started to pick up outside rides because he had a battle on in the title race. And bizarrely enough, he actually didn't win the title race in the end. Things kind of conspired against him a little bit at Punchdown, but he was picking up outside rides to beat Jack Kennedy. He doesn't pick up outside rides very often. I think his protocol is, I'm riding for Willie Mullins. I ride all the best horses. I want to stay healthy and I concentrate on riding the good races. Talk to me about this King George.
I was against De La Francais, so at two fences in, at halfway, I was shouting at the TV screen, at the jockeys, for letting him get such an easy lead, because he's a horse that in France, when he's taken on for the lead, he then sometimes falters, whereas that Corto Star win last year was absolutely fantastic when he got an early break on the field, got into a brilliant rhythm, and they let him do it, didn't they?
They let him do it. What were your thought process in terms of Paul Townend then, and on a horse to, you know, you probably want a sort of an average renewal of the race in terms of pace and all of that, stepping up so markedly in trip in a race where they say it's an easy 3 miles, but you really need to stay because you're kind of racing the whole way. What was your thought process watching him? We did do a podcast last week where there was a lot of love for Banbridge.
There was, I thought the ride, he was given a lot of credit for the ride, but I thought he was a bit of a hostage for fortune, to be honest, because he was settled, 2-3 from the back, and really he needed something to take him towards L'Empressé, towards Ile Francois, and that ended up being L'Empressé, because L'Empressé kind of half-bridged the gap, and then Banbridge could then go on and meet him second last and at the last, and I thought it was a very good ride, but he didn't really have a choice, I didn't think. It'd have been a poor ride if it had gone too early. I was on L'Empressé. I thought he ran perfectly well. I liked the form of him fresh. I think he'd ran one four times the last four reappearances that he'd actually ran. So I think he's probably a good race in behind. I was slightly disappointed with Splans Tower. I thought he'd travel a bit better than he did, given his good form over 2 and 2.5 miles last year as a novice chaser. But yeah, I thought it was a good performance from Banbridge. I just thought it was a hell of a training performance because he looked terrible at Navan. I know it was his reappearance, but looked poor there. I know he was better at Court, but he was obviously in receipt of £10 from Energamine that day. But great training performance, and I'd probably praise the training performance more than I would the ride from Paul Townend. That might be a bit harsh.
Other highlights from England and Britain on the day?
I thought the Jukebox Man was very good in the Corto Star. I was on Highland, and I never really thought I was going to win the race. The Jukebox Man just jumped extremely well. He just shows a combination of speed and stamina, which you need at Kempton. I know where you've just said there, you need to stay at Kempton, and you do. It is an easy 3 miles, but you also need to show enough pace to be able to lie up and get into a good position. he's a proper contender for the Brown Advisory now. I just looked it up. He's 7-1, a standout 7-1 with William Hill for the Brown Advisory. And that's a big price, because if you compare that to the long distance chase ran at Leopardstown, where you had Croke Park beating Better Days Ahead, Stella Story disappointing, I thought the form line for once in the UK probably was better than that of the Irish Grade One.
Actually, we come on to that race then. So Croke Park, Edge, Better Days Ahead. I've said this before, I was at Kilbeggan when Croke Park was well beaten in a bumper, having Kilbeggan with respect. I mean, he's beaten about 12 lengths that day. He'd cost over 400 grand. I do remember I was doing the paddocks. He's a gorgeous looking horse. He's kind of been a little bit unheralded. He's now won really good races back to back, showed a great attitude. Maybe longer term, looking at this race, suppose long distance novice chase, maybe Better Days Ahead will be a better horse longer term. But the proviso, as we say about this race, Steve, is it was just hard to see what was going on.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and you only really saw the last couple of fences. But I just thought Sam Ewing was just fantastic on him again, got him jumping. And I don't know whether you had the choice to ride Better Days Ahead or Croke Park, or just because he was so good in that Drimmore chase on him, whether they just kept him on. But you had to be good with a name like Croke Park, and he's finally fulfilling that, isn't he?
What about Hello Neighbour then? Again, this was a dramatic finish. Off Lady Vega Lane, and what was probably very informative juvenile hurdle. I actually loved this performance for all that he was all out.
So did I. I think his jumping could improve, but that's a given, really. You're putting the horse straight into a grade two on his hurdling debut. He's now 3 from 3 in his career. He's similar to Bottler Secret for the same connections, but obviously Hello Neighbour was already with Gavin Cromwell for his two flat runs, whereas Bottler Secret obviously transferred to Gavin Cromwell. But he's exciting going forward, and he's a proper player in the Triumph. I don't know whether he's going to be targeted there. Obviously, Bottler Secret went to Fairy House instead, but you'd imagine all roads would lead to the Dublin Racing Festival and on from there.
Yeah, I have him back to actually, Antibos. I think I put him up in the show on the back of... it just happened to be at Navan the day he ran. He's a half-brother to Wave of the Sea, which I kind of actually went unnoticed. But just the fact that I knew he was kind of going down that route initially. And, you know, I like the fact as well of Roscommon. He was able to drop back and trip and win so comfortably. And he looks a horse of plenty of class. And improvement in his jumping as well. Like, first time out to go into that sort of company was good. I got to mention as well, Work Ahead. Thought he was very, very good in the maiden hurdle. Landed a bit of a gamble for the very much informed Henry de Bromhead. The first race as well, should mention Kopeck de Boards, who was quite good and very well backed. And yeah, what else do you actually like at Leopardstown?
Not quite at Leopardstown, but obviously it was a good day for Henry de Bromhead. He had four winners across the card, across Down Royal, Leopardstown.
I know what you're going to say here. I know what you're going to say here.
The mare's good, isn't she? The big Westerner. She's a serious horse.
I mean, where do you go from here? She's only 5 going on 6. She said literally one start at point to point, one start in a maiden hurdle, wins exceptional performance, 7-4 in hindsight, was an absolute gift of a price. It's funny, I spoke to you and Hayley Moore about this on our show last week. I was like, I'm just not mad on the Albert Bartlett. They have options with whether they drop her back in trip. Maybe you don't need to go to Cheltenham.
No, and if the mare's novice was over the intermediate trip like the mare's hurdle is, you could kind of argue that she's going there, but she's never going to drop down to 2-mile-1, is she? Like, she's all systems go for the Albert Bartlett. She's 12-1 with William Hill currently at the time of recording. And yeah, I was really impressed. And she's the stereotypical, anything she does over hurdles will be a bonus, because she is huge.
She is huge, and she's very exciting. We're going to move on to two or three races maybe from sort of the weekend, and before we move on to the members part of the show, and we will get Steve's charity bet as well. I think we got to start off, what would you be here with the Challow Novice Hurdle? Steve, give us a bit of kind of home insight into this. So this is the 2:55 at Newbury, and this is on Saturday. It's kind of hard to remember what day it is now. We are recording this on Friday. The new line taking on Regent Stroll, who's an unbeaten son of Walk in the Park for Paul Nicholls. Actually, I don't know. I found this race hard enough to price up. These are two proper exciting horses. And normally you'd expect, you know, week in, week out, year in, year out, you expect the Irish horses to sort of win the novice race almost, or certainly the more staying novice race at Cheltenham. But you add in Bill Joyce is here. This is a proper race.
Yeah, you said it's a good horse, two good horses. There's definitely three good horses here. I wouldn't discount Bill Joyce at all. He's 5 from 6 in his career. The only time he was beaten was in the champion bumper. He was sent off only 7-1 that day. It was a big gamble that day. He beat Quebecois at Sandown in a grade two. Quebecois looks a proper stayer. Like, he'll be stepping up in trip to 3 miles, no question about that. So you would think that the Paul Nicholls team would have Regent Stroll, you'd have a gauge of an idea of if Regent Stroll is better than Kubekar at home. You only have to look at Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden's record in this race. They've won it the last four seasons. They've won it with Captain Teague, Hermes Alain, Stage Star and Brave Man's Game. So Paul Nicholls always targets this. And you could only have to go back to 2006 where Denman won it, who obviously was a top-class horse from there. Now, they run Regent Stroll in here and he has to concede experience to both the New Lion and Bill Joyce. And I don't know about you, when I watched his hurdling debut, I kind of just discounted the form. Nicky Henderson had one in there that just didn't run his race and pulled up, kind of, I think, before three out. So it was left to one of Warren Greatrix's to finish second to him. That was good and clever. And I didn't think much of the form, but he actually went on to finish third in that Grade 1 Formby novice hurdle at Aintree on Boxing Day behind Potter's Charm. Now, granted, you didn't really see a lot of it, but he was staying on well at the finish. So for him to make that mistake at the second last, and it was a proper mistake, like it just reminded me of Stage Star in the Paddy Power, where a horse makes such a bad mistake, he pretty much comes to a standstill. And to then get yourself going again and win easily at the end, I'd probably be with Regent Stroll here. Obviously, the positives for the New Lion would be the fact that he has Newbury form. He defied a penalty to win over the course and distance. And the horse that he beat on hurdling debut has won since. So that form has been boosted. But this is a really, really, really good race. And you've got, it's hard to know as well of Ben Pauldins. He's already had a winner today, being Friday, and obviously the Jukebox Man, an impressive winner. So he's 2 from 2 over hurdles. He also had won a point to point. So he's also around 14 to 1. But I'd have this between the top three, and I've just come down on the side of Regent Stroll.
Yeah, and he's a half brother to Did the Leave You Out too, who I remember well. It was a good horse for JP. Mm. How important is it? Like, you see Sir Alex Ferguson having, you know, horses in his colours, and that he's a part owner of this.
Yeah.
I actually felt both he and Harry Redknapp, I kind of felt it was massive for Cheltenham last year. It felt like Cheltenham was a real lull on the Thursday. For me, it's really important that we have these big sporting figures with a love racing.
Definitely, Harry Redknapp gave a brilliant interview with Matt Chapman after the Jukebox Man had won, and Matt Chapman was trying to, and I think Emmanuel Petit was presenting the trophy, obviously, and was trying to niggle Harry Redknapp and get some sort of rival between Arsenal and Tottenham going. And Harry Redknapp could not care less. He was just happy to pick up a trophy in a Grade One, which is great to see. You've got Sir Alex Ferguson, and I think they're doing it right, to be honest. Sir Alex Ferguson and Jed Mason and all of those lot. You get a bunch of mates and you can split the training costs and everything in thirds. You go to the race with your mates, and I thought it was just, yeah, I think it's great. And the more success that he has, the better for the game.
Have you been to Leopardstown?
I have. I've been to the Dublin Racing Festival for the last three seasons.
There you go. What's your take on Leopardstown?
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I just love the fact that you can just go everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's no, you haven't got to have this ticket to get here and this ticket to get there. And you have seen it progress through recent years, because a lot of the UK go over for it. And the first year, I got one drink in the whole of the day. It just took that long. I missed Vauban winning the Spring Juvenile because I was at the bar. It took about 50 minutes to get a drink. But the last couple of years have been much better. And it's just top class action, very hospitable. And the fact that I've booked to go again this year kind of says it all.
There we go. I'll see you there, and hopefully at Newmarket. So the 2:35, the big race on Saturday, the Savills Chase. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 9 runners. Obviously, Willie Mullen strongly represented. And again, this is actually a race where I don't really think it cares who trains the horses, and the fact that Willie utterly dominates it, because the up-and-coming Factifile taking on Galloping Deschamps, who was imperious in this race last year. You know, it's a glib thing to say, Steve. The market is kind of struggling to split them at the moment. The market should get this right, but I do wonder how much you can tell. I mean, you're not going to be murdering Galloping Deschamps at home. How much you can tell, how much he's going to be able to keep going at the top level. It's a worry for me. Can he reverse Punchdown form with the upcoming Factifile? For me, he probably won't. What do you think?
I'd be in the side of Galloping Deschamps here. If you look at his performances going left-handed in comparison to right-handed, they're chalk and cheese. Like, he should be 8 from 8 over fences going left-handed. He had Bob Olinger well beaten. The only time that he's been beaten is when he fell, when 20 lengths clear. So he should really be 8 from 8 going left-handed over fences. He always struggles at Punchestown. I don't know whether it's going right-handed. I don't know whether it's the fact that it's the very start of the season and the very end of the season, and he's peaked to go in the middle. But I just cannot get the performance of his victory in this last year out of my head. Like, he's a two-time Cheltenham Gold Cup winner, and on the figures, that was his best performance of his whole career. I thought it was exceptional to beat Jerry Colomb by 23 lengths. I thought he ran much better in the John Durkin this year than last year, seemingly having a setback prior to that run as well. So he could have been excused that if he'd got even more tired than he usually does on his reappearance. I suppose the thing that would sway things towards Factor File rather than Galopin Deschamps would be the ground, making it more of a speed test than a stamina test. Because I think Galopin's a really, really strong stayer. I think he'd stay 4 miles if you asked him to on heavy ground. So I don't know what the conditions your way are, Johnny, but at the minute they're calling it good to yielding on the racing post, and that might just bring it towards Factor File, but I have to be with Galopin Deschamps.
Since you've been watered, yeah, there's been very little rain. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of the first half of the show. I mean, you're obviously salivating over the second half because we've only gotten going here. And I'm going to give you one selection. Steve is going to give you just one selection to back first half of the show, but he does have a charity bet later on. So you can save your best for the charity bet. But I'll get one selection off you shortly, Steve. My selection for tomorrow, I'll be very sweet on Stay Gold in the 12:50. That's the second race at Leopardstown. Steve, what do you like?
I'm going to go for Regent Stroll in the Challow Hurdle. I think Paul Nicholls and Harry Coughlin can win it for a fifth year in a row.
Thanks a million, Steve, but we're only on halfway if you are with members. This is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you listen to the Free Versus podcast, we'll be leaving you here, but if you're looking for more, including our look at the big races at Leopardstown over the weekend and the Fáthín at Limerick, join the club.